Welcome to our 8th podcast on internal communication practice governance, in which we're going to focus on finding the sweet spot, where you get to have it all, which is important because I see practice governance is about supporting line managers to become increasingly effective communicators for everybody's benefit. But this can happen only if the IC function itself has its own house in order first. And while some folk may have achieved this, it's possible others may want to tell themselves they have, even though such claims don't really stand up to critical scrutiny. And even more IC specialists are only too aware that they're still doing way too much firefighting. But where are you currently? How close are you to having your own house completely in order? What does it even mean to have your house completely in order? Can anybody really claim that? Surely it'll mean different things to different IC teams depending on how their organisation is set up and what requirements it has. Well, on the surface that may be true, but at a deeper level, there are surely some fundamentals that have to be in place for everybody. After all, the structure of a company like Rolls-Royce is surely different to that of a national chain of shoe shops. But there will still be aspects of, say, the finance, legal, and HR functions that are fundamentally the same across any organisation above a certain size, certainly when it comes to the essentials which the leadership teams will expect of those functions. And that's perhaps where IC is currently in a different boat to many other business specialisms, because leadership teams' baseline expectations may be different not only from organisation to organisation, but possibly inconsistent even within the same organisation sometimes. So given where IC is at right now, how can we create that common baseline without which not only will IC practice governance never be able to get off the ground, but the IC function itself will remain forever subject to the caprices of the latest CEO or HR director? Well, when it comes to leadership attitudes to IC, we have long found it useful to ask the top team two questions. And you can do this now as a little thought experiment, if you like, and just imagine what your leadership team, or a client's leadership team if you're an external consultant, would be likely to say in response to these questions. Now, this may seem a little odd at first, but just swing with it for now and see what you notice. Because the first question we put to leaders is this: do you take internal communication seriously? Just imagine how they would respond to that. Chances are they'll probably say yes, without hesitation and probably without exception. And that's fine, because having established this starting point, we can discover how they respond to the second question, which is, do you take internal communication seriously? Enough. Whoa, right, okay. Hang on. It's interesting, is it not, to play that scenario out in your head? How do you see them reacting to that second question? Are they quite so quick to respond? Are their answers quite so self-assured? Or do they have reason to pause? And if so, what does that pause tell us? Well, one thing it could tell us is that maybe that second question is rather unfair. And how can you quantify seriously enough? What does that look like? How can anybody know? Seriously enough for what? But that in itself is the very point, to get leadership teams to realise they currently have no way of knowing if they're taking IC as seriously as they need to. Which is all very well, but kind of gets us nowhere if we can't then provide them with a credible answer to that question. What does taking IC seriously enough look like? The good news is we already have the answer to this question because we discussed it earlier in this series. In the 4th podcast, in fact, we explored why the concept of best practice isn't good enough, and why we need instead to be pursuing practices which are DFVP, demonstrably fit for valid purposes. And with DFVP in our back pocket, seriously enough, inevitably means giving the IC function everything it needs so that the organization's internal communications can be demonstrably fit for valid purposes. And the reason why that, and only that, can be considered seriously enough is because, by default, there can be only three alternatives to that scenario. Either the organization's internal communications are, to some extent at least, demonstrably unfit for valid purposes, or demonstrably fit only for invalid purposes, or demonstrably unfit for invalid purposes, none of which can possibly mean the leadership team is taking internal communication seriously enough. This is logically inescapable. But of course, it now raises the question of, well, what would it look like for the IC team to have everything it needs for demonstrably fit communicating? And in this respect, internal communication is probably no different to any other business function, because it seems to come down to four key criteria, all of which themselves also need to be DFVP. And if you're confident your leadership team isn't taking IC seriously enough yet, or you're simply not sure, you can tick these off as we go through them and find out where the changes need to happen. First off, there's the IC team's business knowledge. Whether it's knowledge about the workings of organizations in general, or the specific industry in which you're working, or knowledge of your specific organization, or a particular business unit you and your colleagues are supporting. The key question is, does everybody in the IC team have enough business knowledge to support the people they serve? Now, importantly, the leadership team are probably well placed to tell whether they're happy with the level of business knowledge within the IC function. But with the other three criteria, they're probably less qualified to know, because the second criterion is the design of your working practices. Whether that's the briefing process, campaign planning, language standards, feedback mechanisms, the channel mix, approvals process, or whatever, has each of these practices been designed to be demonstrably fit for valid purposes? If not, then seriously enough is already on pretty shaky ground, isn't it? And you know there's some work to be done here. The third criterion relates to the skills of each and every IC team member. Is everybody who needs to be using DFVP practices skillful enough to do so properly? Again, if not, there's another opportunity for growth here. And finally, and this may be where things really come unstuck for many, there's the mandate to use that knowledge, those practice designs, and those skills. Is your mandate demonstrably fit for valid purposes? If it isn't, the leadership team still can't realistically claim they're taking IC seriously enough. Only when all four, business knowledge, practice designs, skills, and the mandate are DFVP, will the IC team find itself in the sweet spot, where you have everything you need to do the job as it needs doing. Only then can you justifiably claim that you have your house completely in order. But how to get there? Because in our experience, it's so often the case that IC specialists feel there is a mismatch between their potential and their mandate. But this isn't really a chicken and egg situation, because once you start having the conversation with the leadership team about DFVP, you can effectively force the issue by making sure your team's business knowledge, practice designs, and skills are demonstrably fit for valid purposes. This effectively creates an unarguable technical mandate, because anyone who might then try to defy you or deny you, however senior they may be, would effectively be demanding that you work in a way which is demonstrably unfit. And of course, you'll be able to demonstrate why it's unfit and therefore not in their own or anyone else's interests. But of course, it does raise another question. How do you go about proving your practices are DFVP or making them so if they're not there yet? And that will be the subject of our next podcast. As always, if you don't want to wait till next time or you're keen to find out more about this subject, you can tap into the dozens of free resources available at comgame.co.uk. Thank you for listening. We hope you found this podcast useful, and by all means, share it on LinkedIn or any other platform you like. And if you've any observations you want to make about the content we've just discussed, you can join us in the IC Practice Governance Group on LinkedIn.